Up and get your day started.
Get up!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, the first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Good morning. Welcome in. We start a new work week here on Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, and it's good to have you with us. On this Monday morning, April 27th, 2026, that's right, we are just around the corner from ending another month, as by the end of the week, May will have arrived. So it is it's quite amazing how quickly it seems like these years go by, but yes, we are knocking on the corner of May. Of course, this Saturday, the Kentucky Derby, one of the great events of the sports calendar. We've got that coming up, so looking forward to that coming up this weekend. We just completed, of course, the NFL draft over the weekend. We've got NBA playoffs going hot and heavy. We'll be getting into both the draft and the playoffs for sure. A lot today here on the program, recapping the weekend in sports. Of course, a lot of attention on the transfer portal and the University of Memphis, and we'll give you an update on where things stand as far as that is concerned, and some other news and notes from around the world of Major League Baseball and college sports. Plenty of stuff to get into on this Monday morning. I am Eli Savoy. No Greg Gaston today. Greg will be back on the program tomorrow. Jay Ham is here, and we will be taking you through the next 3 hours. Coming up later in the program, the 9 o'clock hour, Matt Reiser, University of Memphis baseball coach, will join us here as he does every Monday during this time of the year. The Tigers with a tough series down in Birmingham at UAB over the weekend. They lose 2 out of 3, losing a heartbreaker in extra innings on Friday, then bouncing back Saturday with a win, and then falling yesterday in the rubber game of that series. 3 conference series remaining in what is a very close race in the American Conference. And we'll talk with Matt Reiser coming up to kick off the 9 o'clock hour later in the program. We are live here in the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, that's where family and fun come together. Their hot tub and swim spa expo going on right now. That's through May 10th. Battle of the Brands, 7 manufacturers all fighting for your business. That's at Family Leisure. I spent some time in my hot tub from Family Leisure over the weekend. Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. The weather today, currently 72 degrees. Looking at a high today in the low to mid 80s. We'll see a lot of sun, some clouds, and then this afternoon as you deal with this time of year, as it gets warmer, there is a chance of some thunderstorms in spots. That's just the sign of the times this time of year, that you got those chances for those thunderstorms popping up around the area. That is the possibility this afternoon. Tonight, thunderstorms possible as well. And really over the next couple of days, and by the end of the week, we're going to have a cool down, because looking right now, Friday's projected high is only 60 degrees. That's right, only 60 degrees for the projected high coming up by the end of the week as we turn the calendar over to May later in the week. As I mentioned, we've got plenty of NBA playoff action to get into. Series continuing, injuries continuing to be a big, big story in the NBA's postseason. We, of course, here in Memphis with the Grizzlies know all about injuries and postseason injuries and how they can affect things. Injuries playing a big, big part in the NBA's postseason. Of course, we've got all kinds of action over the last 3 days to get to when it comes to the NBA playoffs. Also, the most improved player was handed out on Friday. We'll get to that. We've had some more scuffles and whatever you want to call them through the NBA playoffs. That's the time of year the intensity is ramped up. And you can certainly see that as well with some of the different things going on in the playoffs. The NFL draft, of course, we talked about round 1 on Friday after it was completed on Thursday night. But rounds 2 and 3 held Friday night, and then rounds 4 through 7 held on Saturday. Local players getting selected for either from guys who played here locally in high school or guys or a guy who played at the University of Memphis. We got some undrafted free agent signings that we'll talk about. We'll kind of look at the draft, some other news and notes of things that happened over the last couple of days of the draft, and some of those draft grades that get handed out as well. As I mentioned, the Tigers and the transfer portal, will get the latest on that as to what we've heard. Not much really happening over the weekend. Tigers still waiting on some news on 3 big guys. They do have another visit happening today and tomorrow. And other news from around the country as far as the transfer portal is concerned. Great story in the world of golf down at the Zurich Classic. Also, we know who the Ryder Cup captain will be for Team USA in 2027. And some big news from Arkansas with their tennis programs and the decision they've made and what that might mean and everything else. We'll get into all of that coming up on today's program. Again, Matt Reiser joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. So sit back, relax. This hour of the program is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery, downtown Memphis. Great place. If you've never done the tour of Old Dominic, it's absolutely fantastic. You need to go check that out. Do that. It's cool to see. I'm a big fan of doing the tours of breweries and distilleries and that type of stuff. And I've done the one down there at Old Dominic, and it is really, really cool. You could go check that out. Again, downtown Memphis there on Front Street. Jay Hamm, how was your weekend, sir?
It was pretty good, Eli. I got some rest.
Hey, that's good. That's good.
Watched a lot of good basketball. Then I kind of veered away from the NBA draft. I think I did a good job of just unplugging from social media for the weekend. Kind of wanted to get, you know.
That's a smart move, usually. I'm a big fan of staying away from social media.
Yeah, so, especially Twitter and the whole thing. Oh, my God. It's such a cesspool of just negativity. But good weekend all the way around, though. Just relax, cool out.
Man, we had, I'll say this, the weather. Maybe a little warm for some people, whatever, but it was fantastic.
I loved it.
Oh, man. I was outside pretty much all weekend, and it was just absolutely gorgeous. And from that, because early in the week, it was looking like it was going to rain and on Saturday and all that. That kind of changed there later in the week, and it looked like it was going to be beautiful. And it turned out to be absolutely a beautiful weather weekend, no doubt about that. I did want to start with the NBA playoffs. And there's a lot of different things going on. I mentioned the injury situation with some teams. Of course, you had the return of one big notable player, and he was a little unhappy. And I actually want to start there with Victor Wembanyama. Because Friday night, we had talked about it Friday, that like he was listed as questionable, and there was a chance he could clear the NBA's concussion protocol in time to play on Friday night. Didn't think it was likely, but hey, it was possible. You never know how guys are going to come back. As long as you clear protocol, you're able to go. Well, he ends up not playing on Friday. The Spurs still get the win. Stephon Castle was awesome with 33 points in the game. Dylan Harper with 27 points, the rookie, 10 rebounds. He was a plus 25 in that game. De'Aaron Fox, like they got good performances by just about everybody, and they get the win even without Wembanyama on the road in Portland. Denny Avdia held to just 3 for 15 shooting. Does go for 19 points, which is impressive on a 3 for 15 night that he's took his 19. But he gets to the free throw line a ton, and he did that night. Goes 12 for 16 at the line. Did have 9 assists, but couldn't shoot the basketball. They did a good job on him. Drew Holiday had a good game with 29 points, but it wasn't enough for Portland as they fall on Friday to the Spurs. Then yesterday, same two teams, and the Spurs do get Victor Wembanyama back. And the Blazers look great in the first half. Lead by 17 at the half, 58-41. And then end up just a disaster of a second half and lose 114-93. So led by 17 at the half, lost by 21, which is crazy. 33-16 in the third quarter, 40-19 in the fourth quarter. The Spurs won those two quarters. Wembanyama goes for 27 points, 11 rebounds, 7 blocks. De'Aaron Fox, 28 points and 7 assists. Spurs now up 3-1 in the series. But afterwards, Wembanyama talking about the fact that there was some frustration and things like that. He and they, I guess, thought that he was going to be able to be cleared on Friday night. And he was not, as I mentioned. Now, again, they got the win, so in the end it did not matter. But there was clearly some frustration with the whole process in that the league would not clear him for Friday night's game, even though he and I guess the team doctors felt that he had was good enough and had passed the protocol. This is the problem we have with the concussion protocol is I don't know that there's clear definition really of like what I don't even know it again. And it appears here. I don't even know if the teams really know like what constitutes clearing concussion protocol. And that's got to be a frustrating thing for a player.
Extremely frustrating, especially at this time of year where, you know, it's the most competitive time of year. It's championship time. And like we said, we knew that, you know, when did he get in? That was Tuesday when
it
they
was
played.
Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday night. Cause we knew 48 hours 40, with nothing, 48. But that we like, okay, they play Friday. So there's still that chance.
Right. Still that chance. And then I was surprised to see that we got to Friday. It's not really, but I guess, you know, probably midway where it's like, I thought he would have played, but I'm not surprised that they held him out. To see that they made a decision 1 hour before game time yesterday, it was like, I can see where the frustration came from now because you waited all the way up until that point. Now we're talking almost a week.
Well, that was the other confusing thing about it. So the Spurs and Wembanyama thought he was going to be good to go Friday. Like thinking, okay, he'll be cleared. And the league doesn't clear him. But it's not like they cleared him then Saturday. It's literally an hour before the game yesterday. So you thought he was fine Friday, but it was nearly another 36 hours or so before the league thought he was okay to play.
To make me think somebody with the league, they were just on weekend time, you know?
it's obviously you don't want anybody there. They want to, you know, err on the side of caution. Like we know concussions now, like the whole thing, like we are going to 100% err on the side of caution. Obviously, it's a bigger deal in football where they're more prevalent, all that stuff. But, you know, is it the team trying to rush him back out there because he's Victor Wembanyama?
Right.
Or is it a problem with the league and their process of clearing somebody? Like, we don't know what side of things. But, and again, in this matter, it didn't matter because the Spurs won game 3, they win game 4, he gets back all that. But what if we're in the NBA finals?
Right.
That's where it becomes if you're in the NBA finals and there's this situation that comes up and it's say it's a 2-2 series and there's a game 5 and an SGA or a Wembanyama or a Jason Tatum or somebody's in concussion protocol, and we don't have real clarity on what the process is, how they need to, what do they have to do to get cleared, and really seems to be confusion between the teams and the league, that's where you really run into an issue.
It's where it becomes a big issue, like you said, and then if you get into that game 5 scenario on a Monday night, and you don't find out to 7 o'clock on Monday that this guy is either cleared or not cleared to go, changes all the game plan on both sides, changes a whole lot of stuff. And it's an inconvenience for a whole lot of people.
Yeah, to me, there almost needs to be there needs to be clarity, first of all, of what exactly needs to be done. Because again, this seems like there's not that because the Spurs and the league seem to be on a different wavelength here. But it's almost like there needs to be a time deadline on a game day. Like it's 3 hours before the game. Because it is like, an hour before the game seems like very short notice. And I don't know, but I maybe some sort of deadline. Maybe it is an hour. I don't know what that is. But, and Wembanyama, it was funny because he was like talking about the frustration. But he's like, the way it was handled, like he's almost like felt like he was too nice of a guy to really say something bad. He didn't want to say anything really bad. He was kind of walking the tightrope of like, I mean, there was frustration, but it was handled well, kind of. Like, he seems like such a nice guy that he doesn't want to blast anybody.
It was a great source of agitation for him. Yes. Just being in there. And I'm quite sure it was probably, you know, a big moment of anxiety as well. It's like, am I going to be held out again? You know, that triggering up as well. But he responded in grand fashion. Took him a second to kind of get going, but he played lights out.
Dude, he is, I mean, there are times when you watch him play, and some of them, like they'll throw a lob, like they don't, like he throws, they throw the lob and he just does the reverse dunk, like, and he makes it look so simple.
He looks like he's dunking on the Nerf goal on your closet door, you know.
And you think to yourself, like, why couldn't they every trip down the floor? It feels like they could just have him go stand underneath the rim and just throw it up in the air. He's going to get it.
He's going to get it. It was one yesterday, I think, that was Castle just pulled up. It seemed like just a regular mid-range jumper, but it was a lob. His hand rotation was like he was shooting the basketball, but it was a lob to Wimby right in front of the rim. He just stuffed it.
Yeah, it's like it's just so you're – I mean, like you just think, like, if you really need a basket, couldn't you just say, hey – you go stand down there by underneath the rim. I'll throw it up near the rim, grab it and dunk it.
And you ain't even really got to go that far. He can actually go do that on the perimeter. He could just get guy, hey, dude, go get us a bucket. You know, he can go get it.
I mean, yeah, 27-11, the seven blocks.
The seven blocks is what said, you know, when you go on a 24-3 run in one quarter, then followed up the following quarter with an 18-3 run, and a lot of block shots were part of that run.
That's another thing. Like, you just, again, we've talked about it with the defensive player of the year. Like, how many of those might he end up winning? There is nobody in the league right now. I mean, again, Gobert is good defensively. He's done, I got credit for what he's done against Jokic and all that. But just the pure impact Wembanyama has, because every time you go into the lane or even think about going into the lane when he's in the game, you have to think about, oh, where is he, and is he going to block this?
And it's really more than just rim protection with him. It's like perimeter protection, lane protection, because he can extend out so far, you know. And he moves his feet well to where he can come out on the perimeter and guard, slide his feet. We hadn't seen nobody of that caliber do that since Elijah won, and he's longer than Elijah won.
In the with that game yesterday, it is the first time in NBA history a team has led by 15 or more at the half, or trailed by 15 or more at the half, and then won the game by 15 or more. Just, again, that's crazy. Up by 17 at halftime.
Getting smoked.
And lose by 21.
Yeah, I mean, right. Go back to the 24-3 run and the 18-3 run.
You get blown out in a game that you were blowing the other team out at halftime. Scoot Henderson, by the way, who had been awesome in this series, yesterday, 0 points. 0-for-7 from the field. The Spurs clearly had enough of Scoot lighting them up, and they said, we're not letting this happen anymore.
It's like they're both young teams, but we saw the separation, I think, Friday night in the second half when Steph Castle and Dylan Harper and those guys just took control of that, you know, that whole second half. And then we saw the freak of nature impact come into play yesterday when they bring back Wimby. He had the same kind of run, but yesterday's run was that much more impressive.
I'll give Greg, I didn't think they would win Friday night without him.
I didn't think so either, but I still rolled with him. I knew it was going to be a challenge because I'm like, okay, both of these are just two young playoff teams. With him not him being on the floor, just two young teams. The Spurs are obviously the more talented bunch, a little bit more experience as well, a little bit more maturity when we kind of saw that with Portland too. But they're going to be, both teams are going to be fine, but that Spurs team, the ceiling is far from.
Again, when you see Dylan Harper go for 27-10, you're like, okay, just add another one into the mix.
Yeah, off the bench. You know?
Just here he is on an important playoff game, need him really bad, comes off the bench and gets you a double-double, 27-10, and he's a plus 25 in the game. And Luke Kornet was real. I mean, Luke Kornet double-double. Like, he was really good in place of Wembanyama and has been when he's been on the floor.
Bringing championship experience and maturity over to that organization. And he just makes solid plays, rebounds the basketball, catching lobs as well, knocking down the mid-range jumpers, whatever he needs to do.
So the Spurs up 3-1 in that series. It looks like they will, in all likelihood, advance. It'd be really hard to see Portland winning three straight games, especially now that Wembanyama is back. We'll get into the other series and other things going on in the NBA coming up a little bit, coming up after the break. We'll continue as far as that is concerned. Again, we got the NFL draft to get into as well. Did want to mention a couple of just quick notes. Jim Furyk will be the Ryder Cup captain for Team USA in 2027. He previously captained Team USA in 2018. That did not go well. USA lost that one 17.5 to 10.5. So he'll get a second crack at the captaincy to see if he can get a win. He was the winning captain for the President's Cup team for Team USA in 2024. So he does have a win as a captain in the President's Cup. He is 0-1 as the captain in the Ryder Cup. And over the weekend in golf, great story at the Zurich Classic. Matt and Alex Fitzpatrick, who coming into this weekend, of course, it's the team event at the Zurich Classic, and coming into the weekend, both had just won. Alex had picked up his first win ever on the DP World Tour, and of course, Matt had just won at the RBC Heritage. And so you got two brothers who have both just won, obviously playing good golf, and they get to play together because it's a team event. Alex, who's not a member of the PGA Tour, gets the sponsor's exemption so he can play with his brother. And they go on to win it. And an amazing bunker shot on the last hole by Matt Fitzpatrick hits it to like less than a foot for Alex to tap in for birdie, and they win by one stroke. So Alex, because of this win, now gets his PGA Tour card. Gets into all the signature events for the rest of the year, has his tour card for 2 years. What an unbelievable thing. Obviously for Matt, tour card, everything else. He's a major winner. He's awesome. He's now got 3 wins on the year. Everything's great for him. But I can't even imagine the feeling, if you're Matt Fitzpatrick, of helping your brother, your younger brother, basically realize his dream of getting his PGA Tour card. And you are able to be there and be a teammate with him in the event that it happens. That has got to be awesome. I mean, for Alex, it's just crazy to get that opportunity. I can't imagine what it finally feels like to get that opportunity. And again, to do it with your brother, and for Matt to help your brother do that. That was a really, really cool scene in the world of golf yesterday as Matt and Alex Fitzpatrick get the win together at the Zurich Classic. 7:22 here in the Family Leisure Studios. We're just getting rolling on a Monday morning. NBA playoffs, NFL draft, we've got to get to lots of stuff from the transfer portal and the world of college athletics. That's coming your way as we continue rolling along here on this Monday. This hour of the program brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery, downtown Memphis. It is Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
That's me in the corner.
Welcome back. 7:51 here in the Family Leisure Studios. No Greg today. Eli and Jay with you. Mentioned that the Rockets do finally win a game in that series against the Lakers 115-96 after the Lakers on Friday night win in overtime 112-108. As we mentioned, Houston up 6 with 30 seconds to go in regulation. They throw it away, and they foul Marcus Smart shooting a three-pointer. He makes the 3 free throws. Then they turn it over again, and then LeBron James hits a 3-pointer to tie the game. Houston still has a chance to win it. They miss. Then LeBron almost wins the game in regulation with a 3 that goes almost like halfway down and pops out. And then the Lakers go on to win in overtime. LeBron, 29, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. Marcus Smart again, 21 points, 10 assists, had 8 of the points in overtime. Luke Kennard, only 1 of 6 from 3, did have 14 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. The surprising part of this was, we talked on Friday, like, down 2-0 game three, like, KD's got to play. I don't care. Like, you got to play. But no, does not play. Didn't play game three. Didn't play game four. And now they're asking about his teammates about him, and they're like, we don't know what's going on. Like,
he's checked out.
it's like he wasn't even on the bench for game three. Last night he was on the bench, at least waving goodbye to DeAndre Ayton. KD is an interesting case study to me. He's obviously one of the great players of this generation, and he's one of the elite scorers in the history of the NBA, an unstoppable offensive force. Because at his height, with what he can do, like he can literally get a shot off at any time, and he's great. But I just wonder, like, how will his career be viewed when it's all said and done? Like, he still feels like, I get it. Because the Golden State stuff, everybody kind of like, yeah, you joined Golden State, who was already awesome, and you won a champion. You won championships.
It depends on who you talk to. For me, when you bring up that Golden State part, I say, you know what? I tell people this. I was like, here's the thing. It showcased him as being the best basketball player in the world, because you got to see him get down defensively on an elite level, even though they didn't want to acknowledge he was an elite defender. He was a better rebounder as well when he was in Oakland with Golden State. But because they look at it as, well, you weren't there to lead the team, but he leads in the way that he leads. He leads as a mercenary. He's really not that kind. He's that hired gun that'll come in, get your job done. That's what he did with Golden State for the most part. Didn't work out in Brooklyn, the large part because of the injuries. Kyrie, James Harden, the whole deal, it just didn't work out there. Didn't work out at the other spots either. And at this point, is kind of what is going to be looked at. It's kind of like how Dwight Howard got looked at in the back half, where you didn't really remember or want to acknowledge what Orlando was. But his Orlando run was a Hall of Fame run by itself. You know, but you look at what happened in L.A., what he was in Houston and other spots. You look at what happened in L.A. the first time. You don't look at what happened with Dwight when he was in the bubble with the Lakers as well.
Here's the thing.
You know?
Do you – to be truly one of the great greats, like the guys we just look at differently.
Go-tier level guy, right.
Do you have to have a championship – where you like, because Durant was the best player on Golden State, but it wasn't his team. It's Steph's team. Do you need a championship where it is your team to truly like put yourself into that elite of the elite group?
I can see where some will say yes, but for me, I'm going to say no, because I still hold Moses Malone as one of the all-time great big men, and that Sixer team was not his team. That's Doc's team. But Moses came over, was the MVP of that season before, and won MVP as the team that year too. But it still looked at as Doc's squad, you know, just in general. Yeah. I kind of view KD in that same way. He was a hired gun that came over and delivered as the hired gun. But I understand if it's not your team, because you can say the same thing with Miami, with LeBron. That was D-Wade's team. But LeBron
but Wade
was
already
question.
Had Wade had the other
Wade
one.
Wade already had the one, right.
That's the thing. Like, it's Steph, like Kobe was Shaq, one. But then Kobe had got his others.
Right. And Steph had one prior to KD.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, as well. But and got one after KD left too. So just kind of, I don't think it's a one size fit all argument.
Because I think there will be people when KD's done.
It's already happening with him.
they'll just look at it and go, awesome, but didn't get as much out of it as he should have.
He didn't stay, is why. Because his 3-year run, they were in the finals every year, and they would have won had he not messed up his Achilles. They probably would have won all 3 years. And he probably would have been finals MVP for all three of them. I don't know if that changes. It should change the narrative, but it won't when people are emotionally invested into the fact is they were disgusted when he went to Golden State.
Because people will they'll say the only reason the championships he won, he went to a championship team already. Like they were already winning championships. He went and joined. They won more, and then he left, and he couldn't ever do it without that. So the only way he won championships is by joining a championship team already.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I mean, we can find a lot of great players through history, throughout sports, that probably that's how they won championships, too.
And when he went to try and be the guy,
and it just didn't work. Yeah. And even when they tried to be, but also say this, he's the youngest to lead a team to an NBA Finals as the best player probably since Magic, but that Oklahoma City team, he was just 22.
Yeah.
And he was the best
player.
Well, that's
the thing. If he could have gotten the one at Oklahoma City, like, I don't know. He just is a weird case study to me.
Right.
Because he's a little weird, his social media stuff, all that stuff.
Well, and then, especially now that he starts firing back. And it's kind of cool on the social media thing because you actually get a bona fide legend that's interacting with you in real time. Just don't be a jerk because he's going to be a jerk right back with you.
I just wonder when it's also like where people will kind of rank him just because of that like idea of like he was never like just never. Again, he was the best player, mm-hmm. but it wasn't his team.
It was
certainly Steph's team.
It's going to be a lot of revisionist history when it comes to him.
But the Rockets do get the win last night. That elbow by DeAndre Ayton to Şengün, oh my.
And Şengün said he thought it was soft. He said he didn't want the man to get kicked out. He thought it was soft.
Man, that thing
looked... That looked like concussion protocol.
They would still be scooping me off the floor. I mean, goodness gracious. I don't know. We got to get into the Timberwolves Nuggets a little later, and that whole thing at the end of that game. Certainly, I credit... like to me, in the... you should not be handing out suspensions in the playoffs unless it is... unbelievably egregious.
Like
a punch thrown... like clearly, no doubt, punch thrown, landed. There's no debate. We have to suspend this guy.
And even with that, we come from an era where we saw Robert Parrish two-piece Bill Laimbeer in real time and got no suspension.
Yeah, I'm glad they did not try and suspend anybody for leaving the bench or any of that stuff. That stuff, it should be absolutely no doubt about it. This guy has to be suspended for there to be a suspension handed down in the playoffs. Hour number one complete. When we come back, hour number two, we're going to get into the NFL draft. We'll get back to the NBA playoffs a little bit later on. Other things to get into as well, but we're talking NFL draft. Of course, we had rounds 2 and 3 on Friday, 4 through 7 on Saturday. We'll get into that when we come back. Hour number two, Sports 56 Mornings here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.